Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 9th, 2021. This week, we pray for those dealing with cancer, for those dealing with vaccine injuries, in thankfulness for doctors and nurses and professionals who serve selflessly and with love and care for their patients. Our first reading is from Amos chapter 7. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Our next reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Our gospel reading is from the 6th chapter of St. Mark. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced. She pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Our next reading is from Genesis chapter 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. And they fed in the reed grass, and behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw, in my dream, 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine, and are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, "Bow the knee!" Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for, he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship in all my father's house." The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You have had dreams before. A lot of them, you know, you're dreaming, but you can't even remember them when you wake up. Sometimes there are dreams that stick with you, though, ones that really disturb or upset you. Or maybe you've had an experience where you are dreaming all kinds of weird stuff, but this one is so clear and vivid and powerful that you think that it might have significance, that it might be a message for you. Joseph reminds us to get our heads screwed on straight. Interpretations come from God, and only God. Maybe you've had a really important dream. Maybe you scratched your head. Was this intended for me to learn something? Was it intended as a warning or as a comfort? We can't place our stock in those things because we don't have a Joseph to interpret for us. But Joseph admits that the interpretations of dreams come from God. The purpose of Joseph's godly gift of interpretation is God has important things for Joseph to do. He's an important instrument in God's plan of salvation for his people. We might even look at him as a type of the Christ. A type is a symbol, a forerunner, a foreshadowing of things to come. Think of the sacrifice of Isaac. That is a type. Think of the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness that Jesus describes in John chapter 3, verse 14, going back to when Moses was fashioning the bronze serpent to be lifted up so that the children of Israel might look at it and be healed of their snake bites. Joseph's suffering and presumed death are to bring about the salvation of many in the times to come. The Lord lifts Joseph up out of the pit and puts him over Egypt. So going back to Genesis 3, we know that the serpent has his fingers all over the doings of this world. The old evil foe in the ancient mythology of the other nations is seen not as the enemy, but as an enlightener. Liars always twist things in people's heads. Terrorists are called freedom fighters. The serpent writes himself into the history of mankind as one that brings wisdom and enlightenment. The Greeks equated serpents with wisdom, and I believe that Zeus was associated with the serpent. Now, look at just about every statue of the pharaohs and tell me what you see them wearing on their forehead. You'll see a cobra, won't you? Certainly the Egyptians also associated the serpent with wisdom and enlightenment. God is going to lift up the Egyptians, and then he's going to destroy them. He's going to demonstrate his power and ultimate victory over the gods of the Egyptians. Now, we know there are no other gods but the true God. But we may neglect is that we live in a world where spiritual warfare is going on all the time. False gods may have no power at all. Idols of wood or stone or of precious metals, but that doesn't prevent the fallen spirits from using and usurping those things. In the study, Journey from Unbelief to Faith, a woman named Marcia Montenegro described her experience in New Age spirituality. She was also always fascinated with astrology, with numerology, and in her time in this movement, she had some very frightening experiences with fallen spirits that caused her to eventually leave, and she eventually did become a Christian. So, if any false god seemingly has power, it's not really true. It's just trickery. It's a lie. There's only one true God, and he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the God of the heavens and the earth. The old evil foe of the Garden of Eden has gone everywhere throughout the world. God is going to put Joseph in charge of the kingdom of the Egyptians. And then God is going to bring them out with his mighty arm. Joseph's in is through the interpretations of Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh has incredibly vivid dreams where healthy cows and healthy, vibrant stalks of wheat are swallowed up by gaunt and thin cows and stalks of wheat. Pharaoh is so disturbed by his dreams that he just wants someone who can interpret them. At the appointed time, just according to God's plan, Pharaoh's cupbearer pipes up. Joseph had correctly interpreted his dreams and the baker's dreams, yet he was still languishing in jail. Pharaoh brings Joseph before him, and Joseph tells Pharaoh that the dreams mean the same thing. 7 years of plenty will be followed by 7 years of severe famine, enough to make the people forget the years of plenty. Joseph says that the double dreams, the fact that one follows the other, means that the event is fixed. In other words, it's something that can't be changed. These aspects of climate are controlled by God. God brings about plenty, and he brings about famine. We know from archaeology that there were certainly times in ancient Egypt in which the lands were far more lush and the flora and fauna were more varied and healthier than today. The drying out of these lands was a result of desiccation, the great desiccation. That's a word that means drying out. The drying out that would take place after the flood of Noah. It is a process which continues even to this day. Joseph's solution to the problem will be to take 1/5 of the produce of the land in authority under Pharaoh and save it up during the 7 plentiful years. In the 7 years of famine, they would have plenty, and God would raise Pharaoh up during those times. Pharaoh would become great among all the kingdoms of Egypt. If you haven't seen Tim Mahoney's Patterns of the Exodus, I strongly urge you to do so. This is a documentary that Mahoney makes the case that the consensus chronology of Egyptian history is mixed up, partly due to archaeologists, partly due to those who have studied scripture. This is based on the name Ramses in the accounts. Genesis 47 verse 11 talks about the land of Ramses. But we never get the name of the actual Pharaoh who Joseph is the major advisor under. Ramses is a name which comes later. According to David Roll, an Egyptologist, the film makes the case that Joseph's Pharaoh is actually, if I've researched correctly, Amenemhat III. The Pharaoh of Joseph's time is unlike that of the pharaohs, which usually seem in control and carefree in the images, the carved images of them. The stylized image of Joseph's pharaoh features a stern face with ears directed outward so that he can listen to the concerns of the people. By setting the chronology straight and adjusting other biblical events, one can find the historical people of the Hebrews in Egyptian history and trace them into the new land in which God would bring them. The documentary and David Roll's studies are compelling evidence of the historical people of the Hebrews and the events of the Exodus. While the serpent is honored in the land of the Egyptians, God is going to bring down the Egyptians in a crushing defeat in the times to come. Not with this Pharaoh, but a Pharaoh to come a few hundred years later when Joseph has been forgotten. God's victory over the Egyptians is victory over the serpent, a victory over the false gods of Egypt. God will bring his people out of slavery and into a land of their own. This is significant for us because the world is our Egypt. It is the land of slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is our Joseph and our Moses. He's lifted up on the cross like the serpent in the wilderness. Ponder then what Jesus became. The Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The serpent, the old enemy, had wriggled his way into every aspect of the world, and on the cross, Jesus becomes sin. He crushes the head of the serpent in that action. He crushes the power of the evil one. Jesus wins victory and salvation for us on the cross. For any person in any kind of oppression today, it all still applies. The world is Egypt. The oppressive rulers of the world are pharaohs. The serpent winds his ways into the governing bodies and politics of this world. Remember when the Apostle Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." When you think of the nasty stuff that goes on in politics and in governments, never forget, spiritual battles are always in play until the end of the time. When you see corruption, when you see evil deeds, and when you look at your very own life, all the things that can and do go wrong, things that should be so simple, remember that there are people being lied to and played by spiritual forces, and that there is always spiritual battle going on. What do we do then? The Apostle Paul tells us, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So, my friends, take heart. Do not fear. Christ wins the victory. He's already won the victory through the cross. The war has already been won. From the Old Testament to the New, the triune God declares war on the old evil foe. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And in history, God does it. So for us, we fight and deal with spiritual battles. But in the end, it will all be good, because our captain, Jesus Christ, has won the victory. And when it's all over, those who believe in Jesus will be with him in eternity. This is most certainly true. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, there are times that we fear the things that go on in our world, especially when life swirls out of control. But Lord, you are the calm in the midst of all our storms, and you are our rock and our fortress. Help us to hold fast to you, to hold fast to your dear Son in the storms, and bring us at last by grace, through faith, by the work of your Holy Spirit, to salvation. In your name we pray it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are dealing with cancer, that you would comfort and care for them, that you would restore them out of their pain and their illness. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them. And for those to whom death is drawing near, we pray that you would comfort them in their time of need and help them to know that you are with them. We pray also for those dealing with vaccine injuries, that you would restore them out of their injuries. Be with them in the times to come and guide them. We pray in thankfulness for the doctors and nurses and professionals who serve selflessly and with love and care for their patients. We pray that their work would be a reflection of your Son Jesus' work. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. All of our verses and scripture readings come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now or taken. The only evil foe now means deadly woe, deep guile and great might are his dread arms invite. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. Of Sabaoth, Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scout this as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. What little word can fail him? The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom of